You are listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco, and welcome to Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, the body, all six areas of the Healthful Living model, and you can read more about that at healthfulliving.org. This is Healthful Living's radio show, Reality Sandwich, and today we are celebrating our 200th show, 200th episode of Reality Sandwich here on KPOO, as brought to you by Healthful Living. I know Reality Sandwich has been around for many, many years here on KPOO, but as the current incarnation with Julie Matthews and myself, Martin Matthews, today we're celebrating our 200th show. And it's quite apropos that today we're going to be speaking about change, about life change, about the seed of life change, as if you look at our Healthful Living model, we speak about change and the intention of helping us and helping us to learn how do we make a shift inside of our inner paradigm, our way of being that is then goes from being directed by things outside of us or circumstances outside of us to being driven by what we absolutely desire and need in our inner selves, in our inner soul, however you want to describe that, but being inner-driven and really directing our own lives and making a deep, dramatic change. And it's also apropos that we'd be speaking about this today on the first day of summer during the lunch hour. So right now, all of us here in the studio and listening are at this apex point of the earth beginning now to come around the other side of the sun where we're beginning to enjoy our summertime. And it's a great time to ponder deep personal change. And today I have in the studio three guests who have experienced deep personal change in their lives, either by making a personal realization, a personal inner knowing, and a shift where they were able to make some sort of a change from being one way to being a completely different way and being committed to that for their entire lives. Now, if at some point during our discussion today we're going to invite it open to callers who may have questions or their own stories that they might want to share about deep personal life commitment changes that they've made or questions for any of us. And you can do that by telephoning in to 415. Toll-free number is 866, actually, 405-0200, 866-405-0200. And also, if you have a question that you might want to email, you can do that to healthfulliving@mac.com, and we'll try to pull those down during the show as well. So I welcome you to Reality Sandwich today. And in the studio, I have with me Will Richardson, who during the day is provides financial works in the financial services industry and loves to connect people and support their needs in those arenas. I'm also here with Sandra Quiros during the day. She is a nutrition person and healthy food expert. And then I'm also in the studio with co-host, Reality Sandwich co-host, Julie Matthews, who is a certified nutrition consultant. And all three of them have their own profound stories of amazing experiences in their life where they made a shift, and that was it from that point forward. So I'd like to introduce them now and ask them to share a bit about their stories and what preceded those shifts and what happened for them and what went on, and just tell us a little bit about it. Will, please.
Thank you, Martin. For me, it really comes down to the difference between going with something we've always done and actually looking at whether that's something that we want to continue doing. When I look back on when I first moved here to San Francisco, I became very boring. I was dull. I had three things that kept me occupied. I had work, I had books, and I had sleep. And that was all there was. And I made a conscious decision. I said, Will, you need to do more than this. You can do more than this. You're in San Francisco. This is a place where there's lots of opportunity to meet people and do interesting things. The challenge was I'd always been an introvert. And I made a decision that when I was reading a book one night, actually, that I didn't want to be an introvert anymore. I wanted to be outgoing. I wanted to meet people. And it's interesting how when I started having those thoughts, I was able to receive those things into my life. Because it wasn't but a couple of weeks later, I was at one of a work function back in Milwaukee. And that was when I saw Keith Ferrazzi speak. And he gave a great presentation about building relationships and making connections with others. And I knew I liked books, so I said, I'll read this guy's book and see what he has to say. And then that's where I learned about a place called Toastmasters, where people go to give presentations and really improve themselves. And it goes way beyond just the public speaking. And I'll never forget the first meeting I went to, because that book had action in it. It allowed you to actually do something. I'd read a lot of good books, and they would just go back on the shelf, never to be seen or heard from again. But this one gave me an action plan. So I said, I'm going to check this thing out. And I remember going to a meeting and thinking, wow, these people are really good. I mean, they just get up there, they can think on their feet and say some pretty incredible stuff. How can I do that? I'm not a public speaker. And I thought for a second, I said, but I can be. And then it became an energy thing, because I was used to just going home, reading a book, and going to sleep. So I said, how can I get myself a little bit more energized so I can go and do this without being tired? Because nice. that whole process of doing something after work was new to me. So that's when I decided I needed to be a little bit more healthy. I started going to the gym, which was also revolutionary for me. I never went to the gym, and I wasn't a gym guy. I remember the first time I told a friend of mine I was going to the gym, a friend of mine back home in Mississippi, and he said, what is that, a bar out there called the gym? And I said, no, Art, it's a real gym. I'm working out now, man. And he was shocked, because the Will that he knew didn't work out and didn't go to the gym. He knew the shy guy that was out of shape and sat on the couch. I knew that that isn't the person I wanted to be anymore. And just making that conscious decision was really powerful, because I truly believe that we can change anything about ourselves if we only decide that we need to. And for me, it was the decision that I don't accept this way anymore. This is not good enough for me. I had disappointed myself. And I knew that the only way to change that was to drastically look at things, to ask questions like, is this making me happy? Am I truly fulfilled in this? Or do I want to be more than what I am now? And I learned that it's really a continuous process. I mean, it never stops, this reinventing yourself. I think it's something that we all do. Or for me, I know that I need to do it going forward, because there's always a chance to improve and get better. And the way that I do that is just taking a look at things and saying, how can I do this better? How can I contribute more to the people and the society around me? And how can I really appreciate this great community and learn as much as possible from everybody I come in contact with?
Hmm. Well, tell us a little bit more. I mean, what was going on with you at that point when you made that shift? Because I hear that there was a couple things. There was an observation of, you know, discontent in certain areas of your life, and there were a couple things that were kind of pulling you and getting you to ask yourself, like, well, gee, maybe there's a little bit more. Were there any other circumstances that kind of, you know, either pushed you out or pulled you towards? And what just tells us, I want to know a little bit more about that time where you just, something has switched.
Sure. Yeah, what had happened is I had recently relocated here, and I'd gotten out of a long-term relationship. So at the time, I became a workaholic. I threw myself into work, and that was all I did. And if I was having a good day at work, my life was good. If work day was bad, my whole life wasn't good. And I realized that I'd become one-dimensional. Mm. And I would just go home and just – I was sleeping. I was sleepwalking through life. And I had a conscious realization one night when I was laying on my couch reading at 8:30, drifting to sleep, because I said, this is something that is causing me to just miss out on everything around me, because I'm afraid. I'm afraid to get out there and see what else is available. I'm afraid of what's different. I was afraid to leave my comfort zone, because it scared me, because I was safe in that boring life.
A conscious realization.
Mm-hmm.
That's really just jumping out at me. All right. Well, thank you for coming today. Thank you for sharing your story. I want to turn next to Sandra Quiroz.
Hi, Martin. So you just want to hear my story, how I came about change?
Well, yes, your story is a bit different in mm-hmm. that you didn't necessarily have a choice in the impetus of your change, as many of us in the world don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, often change is thrust upon us. It's what we do with the circumstance that shows up that's requiring us to change that makes all the difference in the world. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and like Will, I moved here to San Francisco about 6 years ago with my then-boyfriend, now husband. I had at the time what I called the Holy Trinity: great job, great boyfriend, great apartment in New York. And so I left all that, you know, willingly to come here. And that was July of 2001. And so at the time, a lot of my self-worth was wrapped into having a corporate job and being in marketing, and that was not the time to be looking for a marketing job in San Francisco. So I was an avid runner. I ran 15 miles a day on a regular basis, and one morning, a month after moving there, I went to the Mayo Clinic, and I had an executive physical, and they did every kind of test you can think of, and I was the picture of health. About a month after that, one morning, I woke up, and I couldn't walk. I had searing pain in the front of my hips, and the bursas, which are like these little fluid-like sacs that are in your hip sockets, were like on fire. And my iliotibial band, which is this band that reaches from the side of your hips to the side of your knee, was like a metal rod. I was in searing pain, and I, for 4 years, ran all over town to try to find a doctor, an acupuncturist, a massage therapist, a physical therapist, somebody who could tell me what was going on. And one physical therapist told me, well, I think you should take anger management classes. And I wanted to belter one, but I just thought, well, you just don't know what the problem is. And you're frustrated. You're frustrated like I'm frustrated, but I have to live with the pain. So I was in healthcare horror. Finally, I make a long story short, I found somebody who was a doctor, an MD, with a holistic approach to Western medicine, and he could tell just from my symptoms of pain that wouldn't go away, that my pain was burning and not throbbing. It felt like my pain was on fire, that I had extremely high levels of lead and mercury in my system. That's the burning sensation, where the pain won't go away. Thyroid disease, which runs in the family, except nobody in my family knew that there was any thyroid disease. Fibromyalgia, which is when the muscle tissues attack itself, and also multiple food sensitivities to dairy, wheat, gluten, and egg. Now, mind you, I've always loved to cook, and I've subscribed to Gourmet Magazine for 15 years, and but when I was living in New York for 8.5 years, breakfast, lunch, and dinner was to go. That was the culture. That's what everyone did. I had neon mac and cheese with spinach because I'm like, oh, well, at least I'm having spinach. I can have that with my comfort food. You know what? It was a shock for me to learn that I had to change my diet, but I was also relieved. I cried when he told me the results because at least there's an answer. I cried for a half an hour straight. And so I'm like, all I have to do is change my diet. I'll do it. So I started to cut out the gluten, the dairy. I'm telling you, within 4 or 5 days, I lost 4 or 5 pounds. Whoosh, it was off. So like, I had been running for years and eating stuff because I thought, oh, all you have to do is burn calories when you, eat junk food. No, that weight came off and it's never come back. So I lost a total of 15 pounds just by dumping those processed foods and foods that contain that. And so as over time, actually within a few months, I noticed that when I was eating well and foods that my body liked, my attitude lightened up. And it really became obvious to me that it wasn't just a food thing that was going on. It was my attitude. I had toxins in my body, but I had a toxic attitude that kept those toxins locked in, and my body wouldn't let them go until my attitude of beating myself up for things that really don't matter, things of like wanting to look like somebody in a magazine or wanting to have a certain kind of career and have a certain paycheck. Of course, those things matter, but not to the degree that I was putting them to. And once my attitude lightened up, my pain went away. So that's where life changed for me. And I realized I've got to tell people about this. And so I decided I needed to go to school. I needed to become certified. I needed to have credentials in order to help people avoid the kind of unforeseen health issues that I had. And that you can enjoy food. And even if you're not eating junk food, you can have really delicious meals.
Well, you just foresaw my next question was that, as you were speaking, you know, many people have heard of incredible problems that they have with their physical health and are told that, you know, you can change that through your diet and nothing happens, right? Nothing happens next, and it's the disease that ends up being, you know, the controller of their life, and, you know, the story continues. But you didn't do that. You said, no, I can do this. I can control this. I can be in charge of this. So there's definitely something, you know, different there about that, and it's attitude, as you're speaking. And we'll speak more about that throughout the show. Like, what is that attitude? How do you adopt that attitude? How do you support that attitude in the face of, you know, obviously very, you know, significant obstacles, both, you know, from our inner selves and the outer stuff from all around us. So let's shift now to our third guest, Julie Matthews. Your story is a bit different. Similar components, but different with respect to the impetus for your change. Tell us a little bit about your story, Julie.
Sure. My story is more about changing my career. And I was in the corporate world for 9 years. I was probably about 6 years into it and doing really well, really successful, making a lot of money, but not really paying any attention to anything else. So I was, you know, type A personality, literally running around through the office, now realizing that I was just running on adrenaline all of the time, drinking coffee and whatever I could get myself sugar into to kind of keep that state of adrenaline going, because that helped me achieve all of those things that I was thought that were so important to me. And then I just... something kept nagging at me saying that, and I didn't even understand at the time because I had no real spiritual path or anything, but the only thing I could think of, it just kept coming into my head, this is not feeding my soul. This is not doing anything for anybody. This is not contributing in any way, and it really doesn't provide me any purpose. And similar to Will's story, I was a salesperson, so if I were having a great day, my life was great, and if I was having a terrible day, then I was going to be poor and on the street and with no job. And so high stress, high excitement, and high and big crashes. And finally, I decided after a job, second to last job, I thought, this is it. I'm not doing this anymore. And I went to some, not necessarily motivational seminars, but some different types of sort of self-help things, and thought, what do I really want to do? And I thought, ooh, I really want to help people. My original thing was, you know, I thought, oh, if I could help people with terminal illness, that was kind of my thought. And I'm not really helping people with terminal illness right now, but that was kind of my catalyst. And I thought, well, what's the most important component? And I realized it was nutrition, as it's kind of the foundation of everything. So I thought, okay, well, that's a good place to start. So I will take one more job in the corporate world. I felt like, well, I'll give it one more shot for the big break in the .com thing. But at the same time that I got this new job, I started going to school on weekends and learning something new that I could then change into. And then when the .com bust happened, I thought, well, I guess this is the universe telling me it is time to try something new. And so I left all of that money behind. I left the comfort of a career that I'd been doing for many years that I was now a manager at, and decided to start all over again at the very beginning, at square one. And that's where my journey took me, or started, and then now I'm on my current path that I've now been on for 5 or 6 years.
And no going back for any of you? Anybody want to go back to the old way, to the old paradigm?
Absolutely not.
No way, Jose.
Well, I'm going to be a little devil's advocate here. I questioned many, many, many times if I wanted to go back, because the pressure of the everybody around me. My friends who were in the same industry that now had million-dollar houses, and I could barely pay the rent, I could just go back tomorrow and I could make hundreds of thousands. And that, for years and years, I questioned, and not every day, not most of the time, but every 6 months or a year, I thought, the carrot is dangling. I could go back and I could just make some money really fast. And so mine, while I never really wavered in what I wanted to do, I was definitely pressured a little bit by the forces outside to consider doing so, which I never did. And interestingly, I got very, very, very close to a really amazing job opportunity back in the corporate world. And it was really interesting because even though it was a great opportunity, and on one hand I thought, I can do this, and I was going to schedule it, so I got up at, you know, I worked at 6 a.m. and I was home by 3 and I was doing my nutrition stuff on the side. Interestingly, I didn't get the job, and when I asked why, he said, you know, I don't know. You're the most qualified person that we've seen, and I really want you, but something tells me you're not the one. And I knew it was because it wasn't the right thing for me. And in that moment, I knew, okay, this is the universe telling me this is not the place I'm supposed to go. And every time I walked into one of those corporate offices, I sort of felt like it was dead. Like there's no energy in there that supported me at all. And so that was pretty much the last time. And after that, I thought, okay, this is supposed to be, and really since then I haven't questioned it at all. But
it's amazing because there are always going to be some force pulling us back to where we were before. And we're speaking about change, and that change can happen from, you know, a number of different angles, and whether it's, you know, shifting to be your own, you know, creator of your own life and bringing forth your own gifts and making that into a career, and then being tempted to go back to an external world where they pay you and you just have to answer to somebody else's, you know, wants and desires of you, right? That temptation can certainly be there, as it could be for some who are, you know, strictly trying to treat their bodies as holistically and naturally as possible, yet there could be always the lure of going with, you know, a pharmaceutical something or other that could be, mm-hmm. you know, a really quick fix. Right, you can either do all the hard work to keep the ants out of your kitchen, right, by keeping your packages clean and cleaning up, generally speaking, or you can just, you know, take it easy and every once in a while spray it with Raid, right? That could be your quick fix. So quite often that, you know, that could be really, you know, tempting, right? Especially if you have people coming over tomorrow. Oh, well, let me just give up what's really important to me and just, you know, this one time I'll just spray the stuff, right? But there are changes that we make, as I'm hearing with all of you and, you know, many others that have done this, where you make the shift and that's it. It's a done deal. There is no going back, no matter what the temptation. No matter what the temptation. And there can be significant temptation and significant obstacles to sustaining that shift once you get back into that driver's seat of your life and what it is you are bringing forth into the world. So, yes, Will, you had a thought on that?
When I heard you talking about the temptation, that's certainly something that could affect a lot of people, I think, to go back where they came from. For me, it's a little bit different. I've had a lot of times where people appear, sometimes the people you would least expect, to tell you that you can't do something, to say that what you're doing is stupid and it's wrong. And at first that can be discouraging. And then I look at that and I say, well, why is this person saying things like this? And it's usually because they have their own blockers that they can't get out of the way of, and they like to hold other people back. And so I look at them, and I feel bad for them, and I also look at it as a challenge, because if you want to motivate me, you tell me I can't do something, and I'm going to show you that it's going to get done. And I thought of that when you were talking about the temptation, because I think there's positive temptations to go back to what was easier. And I also think when we do things that make us uncomfortable, things that are hard, there's going to be people that appear along the way to test us, to say this will not work. And that's got to be expected. And that's part of it. And I think it makes it even more rewarding when we accomplish those things.
Mm. You know, with regards to temptation, this is Sandra here. I really wanted to get back into the corporate world because I wanted that external validation. But when you're not even able to sit in a chair without, you know, coming to tears and pain, and 5 Vioxx did absolutely nothing and Advil did absolutely nothing, I had no answers. I had MRIs that had zero, there was nothing on the MRI that the surgeon could point to that they could remove. So I really didn't have a choice. There was nothing that I could go to. And so it further propelled me into this, you know, beating up on myself, like not being worthy, don't have a job, and nobody knows the answer why this is happening. And so, like what Will said, that people say that you can't do it, people were telling me, oh, or my brother, actually, one of my brothers was very hard on me, and he said, it's all in your head. And that just made me feel worse about myself and really want to find the answer. So the other thing is that the work that I did in New York was completely different, a completely different level of marketing, because it was a much bigger budget than any place here in San Francisco would do. So I couldn't even look for the same, and it was in a different industry. It was in the cable industry, which doesn't really exist that much here. So, you know, there was nothing that I could go to. I wasn't that marketable, and it was just like, you know, had to find something else. that was it.
Julie, what obstacles did you face initially when you decided to have your own career, your own life? I mean, certainly there was you were mentioning a significant drop in income, right?
I was going to say the obstacle was my mind. You know, everything else, truly, there were all the things that you said. There were starting up a new business, starting from scratch, not really having the resources to do so, and all of those kinds of things that everybody starting something new experiences. But probably the biggest thing, which was a little different than the two other stories, was that it seems like I had more self-doubt. I wavered a little bit more. And now when I look back, I think there's nothing about the corporate world I would ever want to have anything to do with as far as getting a paycheck from that. And so now I'm sort of on board with how everybody else is feeling, that this is definitely the path and I'm on it and it's great and I'm thrilled to be here and I wish everybody knew about it. But at the beginning, I would say that my own fears and doubts were what got in the way the most of me just going straight for it without wavering, without thinking that, you know, without comparing. I guess I did a lot of comparing myself to others and is this going to work? Am I going to be able to do it? All of those sorts of things.
You're listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco. This is Reality Sandwich, and we're speaking today about change, deep personal change, changing one's personal paradigm that affects everything in your life and brings ultimately with it greater personal fulfillment and happiness and health and really everything that we equate with the positive qualities of living. Really. If you have a question or you want to ask or you want to share, please feel free to give us a buzz at 866-405-0200. If we get a call, we'll be happy to listen to you and have you say hi. Or you can send us a quick email at healthfulliving@mac.com. Let's move forward now and speak a little bit about, you know, what does it take to sustain this shift, this change? It's not so much so easy to just tell people, yes, make that change, or yeah, you can do it to somebody, right? Oh yeah, I'm thinking about this. Yeah, you can do it. Well, okay, well then now what? I mean, it's not just making the change.
I think the key is when it's hard and it feels like you're just going crazy because what you're doing is so different, for me to go from going home and reading a book every night to having a different social event that I wanted to go to meet people every single day and to be that much of a shift – that was really uncomfortable. I was the guy in the corner. It's like, oh, I hope no one talks to me. And I think the fact that it was so uncomfortable was how I knew it was right, was how I knew it was exactly what I needed to do. And I kept doing it. And the more I kept doing it, the more things that used to be uncomfortable became comfortable and became natural. And I think that's the key to knowing we're on the right path, that it's hard, that it's almost painful sometimes. I think that's been the secret for me.
I think what's also important is to know when you need support and when you just need motivation. Like for Will, it was finding the right book at the right time hearing the message and being open to that message. And for other people, it's getting support when you feel really stuck and you don't know how to get out, but you just know you need to make a change. And so that was one of the reasons why I wanted to come on today, is to share my story and hear other people's stories in hopes of inspiring other people out there, so that if there are changes in your life, whether they're physical or, you know, your job, your career, spirituality, your relationship, whatever it is, that you get inspired to make the change that you know deep down that is ultimately going to serve you and make you free.
I hear you all saying that something came into your head. I think we all have stuff that comes into our heads, but we don't always listen to it, right? Or we listen to a different something that came into our head from somebody else whose words we hold for some reason in higher regard perhaps than our own, right? We have a lot of programming, a lot of people telling us, you know, what to do or how to feel, or making us judge our own interpretations of what goes on in our heads. Yeah.
Or if we admit that we need a new way, then we have to admit that the old way wasn't working, and then there's a whole thing to deal with around who was I then? Was I bad then? If I want to change now, what does that mean about me before? And all of those pieces as well.
Mm. Well, also, the way I look at it now, of course, hindsight is 20/20, right? And nature changes. The day turns into night, the night turns into day. You know, there's spring, flowers grow, flowers die. Everything changes. There's a cycle to nature, and there's a cycle to the way we feel about ourselves. There's a cycle in which we live our lives. Sometimes it's go, go, go. Other times we need to pull back. And so once you see the whole, you step back and you see the whole picture, then it's easier to not feel so in your own head about what's going on around you.
I think that is really profound. Took me 10 days sitting in a silent meditation retreat to learn that one, which in Vipassana they call aniccha, which is that all things will change. This too will pass is what it means. And so instead of reacting and in a state of fear or over needing to change something because of whatever, you know, it's just, okay, well, this is how I'm feeling today. Tomorrow I'll probably feel differently. I'm here in my process today. In 6 months, I will be in a different place. And I think that's really helpful, because we often feel like what we have in the past is what we're going to have today and tomorrow, when it can change at any time.
Well, that's really, we're speaking about acceptance. Yeah. It's like, how can we move forward if right now is not okay? Yeah. Like, if we're standing on a burning platform, yeah, and we're freaking out about the fact that we're standing on a burning platform, then, you know, how do we muster what it takes to jump off that platform? And then the thing is also that we're carrying, we get caught in this pattern of carrying the negativity into the future and projecting it into the future, when really the next moment, you know, sure, it comes after this current one, but it needn't be exactly the same.
Going back to what Sandra said about attitude, I think that is the number one thing, because if we choose how we think, we don't always choose what happens around us, but we choose how we respond to it and what we do with it and how we learn from it. And I think that is exactly what we all have in common, and what's exciting to me is that you can make that choice, that you can have an attitude that things are possible. And what I noticed is when I started making changes in my life, that my attitude's different. My attitude wasn't so good before, and I was saying, oh, I'm on a burning plank, where now I would say, oh, cool, the plank's burning. That's kind of interesting. Let's see if we can get over to another one. But I know that it's possible to get to that other one. And I also found, we're talking about people that have supported us along the way. Mm. You attract people when you are more positive, when you have a better attitude. There's going to be a whole new group of people that appear into your life, and that they want to be around people like you. Because if you have that bad attitude, there aren't that many people that are going to want to be around that. And I think that was a big takeaway for me, is changing my attitude changed the people that came into my life. And some very influential people came in to help me quite a bit through all of that.
Mm, absolutely. Any other experiences among that realm? Let's speak about that need for support in this positive choice. And have you also found that that's been attracted to you in some regard once you get oriented in a different direction?
Yes, I found support was absolutely essential because I think especially in our culture, you just look at the ads on TV and you are a hero if you can do it by yourself. And the reality is, I think we all know to one degree or another that no man or woman is an island. And when I went to school for nutrition, it was much more than just for nutrition. I got a lot of support so that I could walk my talk and not eat bonbons while telling someone else they need to eat their twigs and tofu. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't believe in twigs and tofu, but anyway, I think that you need support so that you have someone to, who empathizes with or sympathizes with your goal and can actually help you be accountable so that you can make those things happen. And I continue to receive support as a support giver. I think that's very important.
Julie, what's come up with you?
Well, I really don't think I could have done any of it without the support of my husband because he's the eternal optimist and he's the one that keeps me going every day when I'm feeling whatever, negative things that bring me down. So I would say that that's something I had in my, I wasn't actually good at asking for support. So if it were up to me to go get support, I probably to this day wouldn't have any. But because I had some inherent, I learned the value of that. And now I'm more likely to go get some from somebody else.
Sure, sure. It seems here that I'm hearing that, you know, when we get driven internally, when we want to do what's in our heart, what feels right to us, that's an openness, that's an opening that's required in us, yeah. And to do so, we're exposing ourselves, we're opening ourselves up and exposing ourselves to potential harm from others. But I think the learning here, and I think we're all figuring this out in the world, is that if we can open ourselves up, we're also reaching out and grabbing onto others that are going to support us. And that is a natural outgrowth of any organism that learns that openness and connection to all other things really is the way to achieve our greatest and highest potential. But what happens is we get caught in a fear-based pattern often, or somebody else telling us that you can't do that or you shouldn't do that, and get back in line and follow the program, and I'll keep giving you the pellets. Yeah, you just keep doing what I tell you, and I'll keep giving you the pellets. And then eventually something comes into our head, as Julie was saying, that, you know what, I want to control where the pellets are coming from. And it doesn't matter whether that you're promising me, you know, 100,000 pellets, you know, for not using my brain or doing whatever you tell me, but I want to do my own. And we hear stories from people at the end of their lives, right? Oh, I had all this stuff, but I wish I had done what I wanted to do. I wish what was in my heart. And I was actually just hearing this morning from one of our Healthful Living colleagues, Michael White, who just came back from Iran, who was reflecting about how happy people are there despite having almost nothing, you know? And so clearly the key to happiness is significantly different than just being driven by, you know, external gain of stuff and superficiality. So let's talk a little bit more now and speak out to others, because it's not always your personal choice to deal with a significant life change that requires a complete radical alteration of your paradigm. And sometimes change is thrust upon us. And again, how we deal with that affects everything that happens next. Some people deal with it and can remain in what we can blanketly call a victim perspective, and they're stuck in that negative paradigm and don't always attract what they necessarily need to maximally address their situation. Others can look at it completely differently. But either way, we all need tremendous support. So let's talk a little bit about what's required and how do we speak to some of those folks. And I'm thinking particularly, I mean, Julie was speaking to me this morning about the moms that whose children have been diagnosed with some significant childhood disorder that radically alters what their expectation was for their child's life, what radically alters what they thought they were going to be doing. And that's a significant change thrust upon someone. Can we speak to anyone like that, or whether it's someone with a personal health challenge, or they learn that this is a quote diagnosis or new data that radically shifts what they thought was going on, and it requires them to go deep inside and somehow muster a personal choice about how they are going to be from that point forward?
I would say that the first piece is acceptance, which is the hardest piece for me, and I'm still working on that. And I'm realizing that it's really important because you have to accept where you are in order for you to move anywhere from where you are, in order to ask for support from others, in order to sort of understand a little bit more about your circumstance and where you might want to go. You first have to accept that you're where you are. And then I think the second piece is figuring out, I think for myself, it was that I had this expectation that I have to be perfect in order for people to like me. So I don't want to admit that I have this problem that I need help with. But then what was a really key piece for me was realizing that every single person has something they're dealing with. And that's actually what connects everyone. And so if we can have more understanding and compassion for ourselves, we can then... And we might even not have that compassion for ourselves, but we might see that compassion, we might have that compassion for others. And we might say, I feel for that person. And so maybe that person would also feel the same for me. And then we reach out to someone and we say, I'm having this problem. And they say, wow, I have that problem, or I have a different problem. And then there's this whole humanity piece of it that we realize that when we reach out to others, it's actually far better and more supportive for our journey than if we try to keep it all within ourselves and gloss it over into some prettier picture.
I think when I made the change, overall, I realized what was happening is I was taking the focus off of myself. I mean, there was this pain that I was living with every day. And like I said, Vioxx didn't help. Advil didn't help. There's no surgery that could be done. Doctors didn't even know what could be done. So now that I look at it, I realized the world does not revolve around Sandra. And recently I went on a spring cleanse retreat. It's called Panchakarma, and it's an Ayurvedic cleanse. And it was in Colorado with Dr. John Duyard. And I spent a week there, and I cannot tell you how amazing it was to not turn on the television for a week, not look at my email, not answer my cell phone. I mean, I would call my husband, every day. But he gave me this visualization that was one of the biggest gifts that I've ever received. And that is how I try to live my life right now, which is to live like a flower. A flower grows and blooms and blossoms and gives out its scent. And it doesn't care who's around. It's beautiful. And it doesn't care who comes by and smells it. It's free for everyone. And continually, season after season, different flowers grow, or especially here in California, but maybe not everywhere, but there's always something new with the season and a new way of giving of ourselves to people who need it. And so this whole experience has given me a lot of compassion for others, no matter what their story, and I feel like everyone can be that flower.
Yes. And everybody has something inside of them that they feel. Yeah. And I guess getting ourselves and allowing ourselves to go with those feelings has become an innately human challenge. Will, you had a thought?
It's funny that you mentioned that, because just recently I realized that what I tend to do when I have a physical setback or I feel sick, I just want to ignore it and pretend it's not there and just plow through it. And I was killing myself. And my girlfriend said, what are you doing? She said, you got to feel it sometimes. You got. It doesn't mean you have to be a victim of it, but it's okay to feel it and say, okay, and this is what she calls a system signal. Your system's telling you something. Maybe you need rest. And that's what it was for me. Is I needed to slow down. I needed to decompress, and I needed to get a little bit of rest. And my body was going to make me do it. And if I'd have just kept going and pushing and pushing, I don't know, I might have wound up in the hospital. So I think it was good, and it helped me learn from that, that when my body's trying to tell me something, I want to listen and do what it needs me to do.
And that listening to the only person that can do that for us is ourselves. We have to, like you said, listen to ourselves. Yet we're often busy listening to, you only need X number, you only need 6 hours of sleep, and you can do this, and you know, you can keep going, and all of those kinds of things. But ultimately, we have to listen to ourselves, because we're the only ones that really know what's right for us.
I agree, and I also think that we've lost touch in general with what our bodies can take and what we can't, because we have all these drugs around us. We've got sugar, we've got coffee, we've got all these things to really mask our symptoms. And like what Will was saying, once you start to recognize your body's symptoms, oh, I need sleep, or I need to get out into the sunshine, or I need to exercise, and you start over time giving yourself what your body wants, and you understand your body's signals, then it's really not rocket science, and you don't need to take that pill in order to get to sleep.
But then again, we've got somebody telling us 17 times, take the pill, do the thing, don't listen to yourself.
Everybody else is taking the pill. I mean, we probably know 7 people in our lives that are taking the pill. And so we think, well, sometimes we might think maybe that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, maybe that would make our life easier.
I think that we've gotten away from knowing we think that we're smarter than our bodies. And when that happens, then it's okay to ignore those signals. And a lot of clients who come into my office, they don't know what those signals are. And by the time they leave, they feel so in tune with their body, and their life is so dramatically different. And I really think that that's the key to really, whatever way, whether it's by a book or by getting support live with someone, to find out what your body wants. Because I, like what Will was saying, I was pushing and running harder and harder, and I was ignoring pain, but I had no idea that I would wake up and not be able to walk. I mean, that was just like beyond me. I thought I had a I just thought I overdid it. And to have that pain for 4 years, I mean, it did go down a bit, and I was able to, you know, walk. But, I mean, it was like a 90-year-old woman, and, you know, it was just horrible. So I think there's another way. There's definitely another way.
And clearly a need to connect with others, others that are either making a significant change, being inner-driven, making their own career, making their own life, dealing with a health challenge, whatever it is, we've got to reach out and connect with other people. I mean, imagine if we had a whole community of people whose default orientation was focused on being healthy, not just in their own lives, but healthy in all of their relationships, healthy in how they interacted with the world, healthy in how they interacted with whatever their spiritual nature was, but in a way that we co-created collectively, intentionally, ways of being that were healthy, that supported us, that moved us in positive, sustainable directions. And that's, you know, certainly a component of the healthful living intention, is to bring together people who are all focused and fixated this way. So imagine, no matter what it is you're dealing with out there, and there's people, you know, with various health challenges or whatever it is, if you're part of a community where you've got other people, other real humans, because we all are humans, dealing with challenges that periodically face us, but realizing that, you know, we are all human, we are where we are, and that by connecting with others, we can all support and strengthen all of our movement in a positive direction to prevent us from falling back down. Because by reaching out and grabbing the collective, it'll pull everyone up. And every time I speak to people one-to-one-to-one, I hear the same theme. I hear the same theme. But when we hear from, whether it's, you know, various leadership or government or whatever it is who's setting policies that we keep listening to, it's separatist, right? It's don't listen to anybody else. So, but I think we're clearly living in a time where those of us, and specifically at least today, my guests in the studio have all learned that, you know, it's you've got to listen to that inner voice. There's something inside of you that's telling you the truth. That's what you need to listen to, and you ultimately always will listen to, because even if you talk to somebody, you know, 89 years old, they're going to tell you, I wish I listened to the inner voice because I always heard it. Yeah? But I always went with somebody else's thing. So our deep message is there's always a way. There's always a way, and you can't – there's nothing more powerful, and nor can anybody ever tell you that there's anything more powerful than what your own intuition, what your own inner feeling is telling you. So we've got just a couple of quick minutes left, and I just want to ask any of you to share, all of you to share, just your last few quick moment tidbits on that notion. Will?
You hit on something really key when you said connectedness, because we are, and Sandra, you mentioned it earlier too, we're all in this together and we can help each other. And we listen to our voice, and our voice will put us in touch with the people that can help us get through and learn from whatever we might be experiencing. And I think that is probably the biggest takeaway of the whole thing is a couple of things. One, make yourself uncomfortable and challenge yourself, and you're going to improve the quality of all your relationships, personal and professional. And know that there are people that have been through things and that want to help. People genuinely want to help others get to these places because we all go through these things. And when I see somebody with an attitude of, I want to get there, I want to do something, I want to make myself better, I'm all about helping them do it.
Absolutely. Sandra, any quick closing thoughts?
I think there's wisdom in what everybody has said today, and I really think that for me, the attitude of gratitude has been really, really helpful because it's so easy, especially living here in America, where we're kind of in our own little bubble. The majority of the world lives in poverty, and we just have a fabulous life. And it's just being grateful for, you know, my husband, the roof over my head, and also just to get support, really to get support if you feel you need it, whether it's in a book or with someone who you want to be like.
Julie.
I would just say be in the moment and be with whatever is, because there's times that people are going to feel depressed or afraid, and you can't and you want it, and it's not advantageous to just, like Will was saying earlier, ignore those things. It's okay. And in order for us to move past them, it's good to be with them and realize those things aren't going to kill us. And then we're going to be able to have those moments where we can then transcend and move on and feel positive and feel excited. And that, you know, oftentimes when we're going through something difficult, everybody wants to just make us feel better in the moment. But it's okay to feel crappy in the moment so that we can get to the moment where we feel better.
It's okay to be where you are. And remember, the Buddha said, who you are is who you have been, and what you will become is what you do now. Remember that all change begins with you, begins with you. And that's really the underlying theme of our show today. And I want to thank my three guests, Sandra Quiros, Will Richardson, and Julie Matthews for being on today. You can hear this show or any past show of Reality Sandwich for free download at realitysandwichradio.com. We're on every Thursday at noon here on KPOO San Francisco. Today is our 200th episode that Healthful Living has been bringing Reality Sandwich to you here on KPOO. So we want to put out a big thank you to the station for allowing us to continue to do our thing. And we'll be back next week. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist with Healthful Living. Thanks so much for listening.